far.
No, very good. I thank Nelson for overseeing all of this. His grasp of technology has increased a hundredfold over COVID, at least since we started meeting together again. Thank you, Nelson. Thank you to Mike and Javier for translating for us. You do a great job with that. We're so grateful for it. Thank you to Ryan Irby, the MC with the most. I mean, this guy brought it today. Ryan Seacrest has nothing on you. You are the best. Thank you for that. And thank you to George and Tiffany for sharing your hearts with us today. And thank you for continuing to be in the fight and to remind us to be in the fight, to be in the race. I appreciate all of your thoughts with that, which tied in very in a great way with our last song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away, and but we still bless his name, which ties right into my message today as well. And thanks to Shirley for using her gift to encourage us again, as she always does. Fantastic job, Shirley. Today, we're going to go back to the series that we had going on before Christmas, sharing some of our favorite scriptures and talking about some of our favorite scriptures. And today, the lesson I'm going to share is from Psalm 51. I'm sorry, 21. I'm sorry, I will get it right. I love all the Psalms so much, it's hard to pick one. Psalm 23, that's where we are. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd psalm, or some call it the Psalm of the Divine Shepherd. It is noted as being a Psalm of David, which doesn't necessarily mean David wrote it, could mean that, but it could also mean that it was dedicated to David. But we do know that David was a shepherd, and so there is much that ties in with the psalm with who David was as a person. And if David did write the psalm, then it was written somewhere close to around 3,000 years ago, which is really amazing that you have something written almost 3,000 years ago that is so relevant and up to date, and it has stood the test of time for sure. Let me begin with a little context, and then we will read the psalm together. In the first century, seeing a shepherd with sheep was about the same as seeing a bagel shop in New York or New Jersey today. I mean, they were everywhere, just like bagel shops are everywhere. We have one that's about half a mile away from us here, and it has amazing bagels, these gigantic, fluffy bagels. I would know, but I buy them for my grandsons, okay? So they know firsthand. Our grandkids, they love the everything bagel, but they don't call them everything bagels. They call them the anything bagel. And so we ordered the anything bagel for them. Well, this bagel shop is right down the road, but if I were to go another direction, turn another direction, it wouldn't be long before I passed another bagel shop. And I know if I go another direction for sure, there's another bagel shop there. And that's kind of how shepherds were in the first century. They were ubiquitous. They were just everywhere. And they didn't always have the best reputations. We probably don't think that of shepherds because we see the shepherds in the nativity scene, and that seems like such a picturesque, beautiful scene. And it was, but shepherds were actually known. They were known as being thieves and bandits and ruffians. And so they didn't have the best reputation. But one thing that you could always count on with a shepherd was the shepherd would take care of his or her sheep. That was just something that they would always do because sheep to them meant life. And so shepherds took care of their sheep. Now, I don't know if you've ever met a real live Middle Eastern shepherd or not, but I actually have, okay? Because we lived in Jerusalem for about a year. And while we were there, I got to know the family that actually had the keys to the gate of Hezekiah's tunnel. This was actually built by Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and his engineers in the late 700s, early 600s before Christ. And it was to bring the Gihon spring into the city of Jerusalem so they wouldn't have to go outside the city walls to get water. And that was helpful when enemies came around the city. And it ended up, they built the Pool of Siloam, which you read about in the New Testament. Well, I knew the gatekeeper to that tunnel, and my son Daniel, he was about 5 or 6 at the time. He and I would go down on hot days some days and just wade through that tunnel together. And there were many days where I actually had dinner with them as well. And their house looked out over a plaza that went to the gate. Well, one day we were having dinner together, and it was a great meal of the upside down Arab dish and the bread and everything. It was just fantastic. Talking a lot about food this morning. I must be hungry. Probably making you hungry as well. But it was great. And as we were eating, I saw wandering into the plaza a sheep out of nowhere. A sheep came into the plaza and actually started walking over toward us. And I looked over at my host and I was like, what's up with this sheep? And he said, oh, just wait. And then a second sheep turned the corner and started coming toward us. And then a moment later, a third sheep turned the corner and came over toward us. And then 4, 5, 6, a dozen, 2 dozen sheep in the middle of this plaza out of nowhere. And so I looked at him and I said, seriously, what's going on here? I've never seen this happen before. What's going on? He said, just wait. And about a minute later, a man came walking into the plaza, carrying a large pole, a shepherd's staff, and walked over to us. Our host stood up. They greeted each other. They hugged each other. They kissed each other on the cheek. And he introduced him. He said, this is my uncle, and these are his sheep. He's a shepherd, and he said, I knew that he was not far away. There's a sheeper here, and a shepherd is never far from his sheep, and the sheep are never far from the shepherd. And that was my lesson in being a Middle Eastern shepherd and what being a Middle Eastern shepherd meant. They take care of the sheep. They love the sheep, and they're never far away from the sheep, and the sheep are never far away from them. Now let's read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Some translations, a banquet. You prepare a banquet before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what I want to do in the time that I have left, which isn't much time, but I want us to just phrase by phrase sort of identify what's going on and give you a few practical points at the end. So let's talk about this psalm for a little bit. First, there's the main point of the psalm. And the main point is the very opening line. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, or I will not, want. Well, that's the thesis statement. That's the main point that the psalmist is making. And what is the psalmist saying here? I shall not want. Well, it means basically that God's going to take care of us. I shall not want because God's going to meet my needs. I'm going to learn to trust in God. I'm going to learn to live in the presence of God because he's my shepherd, and shepherds take care of the sheep. That's who they are. That is what they do. Now, I believe the writer here is making a positive affirmation that he wants us to say over and over and over again until we get it. Okay, I don't think he's trying to say, this is, you need to have this mentality every day of your life, or you're not a disciple of Jesus, okay? Because crazy things happen. But this is an affirmation to say, even though crazy things do happen, I'm still going to trust in God. I choose to trust. I choose to believe that God's going to meet my needs, even though they're great right now. And they have been great during this season of COVID, and this time, it's been incredibly difficult for many of us, but we can trust in God that he's going to help us through it all. And I believe that's what he's saying, that this is more of a positive affirmation. Why? Because with shepherds, they still face wolves. They still face drought. They still face sheep wandering off. We even see that in one of the parables in the New Testament. And so it doesn't mean that, well, I trust in God, therefore everything in my life is going to be perfect. That's prosperity theology. And I totally categorically disagree with prosperity theology. It's just not biblical theology. Instead, what it's saying is that wolves are going to come, drought will happen, sheep will wander off, but I'm going to trust in God that he's going to help me through all of this. So, yeah, I appreciate George and Tiffany and their openness. I mean, a lot of things have happened in their lives over the last couple of years, just like in all of our lives. And yet they've chosen to keep running the race. That's really what this psalm is all about. So that's the opening statement. It's a positive affirmation for us. And I believe in positive affirmations. I believe in positivity. I believe that we need to keep good things going on in our brain. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That helps me. But then he gives all these images to say what I just stated is right. And I love images also. The reason I love images is because I can take an image with me and keep it in my brain all day long. And there are many images that are given here to support that we shall not want. For example, green pastures, still waters, right paths, strength and courage to walk through death's valley. God taking away our fears, protecting us from evil, comforting us with his rod and his staff, disciplining us with his rod and his staff, preparing for us a banquet in front of our enemies, anointing our head with oil, filling our cup until it overflows. And also, that goodness and mercy will follow us all of our lives. And if that's not enough, we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of those images are amazing images. And you can pick one and live with it throughout the rest of this day. And let's talk about them right now, because you might want to choose one to live with this day or this week, or pick a different one every day for the week. There's so many here. So we'll talk about them. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's a beautiful image. And most of us can picture that in our mind because we've seen a green pasture. We've seen a clover field. And many of us have, we have taken naps in clover fields. So we understand that sheep love green pastures. They live off of green pastures. Green pastures provide food and nutrients. They also provide a place to that is safe from the wildness of life. So picture a pasture of clover that is soft as a bed. That's what the writer is saying. You can lie down in this pasture. You can roll around in this pasture. This green field, you can take a nap. It's a place of security. God provides security for us, even in difficult times. He leads me beside still waters. That's another beautiful image. And I'm sure many of us can picture still waters, that placid lake in front of us where there's not even a ripple. I love to go up to Ramapo Mountain State Park. And if you walk up to the top, there's this beautiful lake up there. And I love it on quiet days where there's no wind and you can just see your reflection in the water. It's still water. It's beautiful. And sheep can't live without water, like we can't live without water. And still water in that day and time was especially meaningful because turbulent water for them like when Jesus faced the storm on the Sea of Galilee, meant chaos. And actually, there was a thought that chaotic evil was what stirred the water. Well, still water shows that God is in that water. God is there, and God provides that. So still water is a place of security, like green pastures, and God gives us that. So, you know, if you believe in meditation, and I hope you do, just spend some time this afternoon meditating on green pastures, meditating on still waters. And I think you'll find that if you do that, it'll help you with some of the stress and anxiety that's going on in your life. Just breathe and live in these images for a while. Why? Because he restores our souls. That's next. And restoration comes from images like that and from practicing meditation like that. God is the one that restores our souls. Green pastures, still waters lead to restored souls. And God gives us restorative healing. That's the kind of God that he is. We live in his presence and he helps us. Another image, it says he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God directs us, he leads us, he takes us on the right path, just like a shepherd is going to lead the sheep on the right path. The shepherd will not lead the sheep to danger. He will lead the sheep away from danger. God leads us to right decisions. And why? For his name's sake. Well, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that, you know, quite literally, we can't see God because God is spirit. However, God can be seen through his people. And when we make right choices, that reflects well on God. And namesake means character. It actually reflects well on God's character that he leads us to right choices. So for his namesake, excuse me, for his own character, he's going to lead us to right choices. And that's another beautiful, beautiful image. Okay, next. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, again, I don't think that that is a, I'm just going to take a lackadaisical way of life and walk into any dangerous situation and not worry. I don't think that's what he means at all. I think what it means is dangerous situations are going to come. Trust in God. This is an affirmation. Trust in God whenever danger arrives, and it will arise. We will face the shadow of death at different times in our life, whether it's somebody else dying or ourselves being sick. When those times come, do we trust in God? Do we have this affirmation that I will trust in God? God will protect me. He is my shepherd. Therefore, I'm going to trust even when things are difficult. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The image of a shepherd's staff or a shepherd's rod, which was used to fend off wolves and evil creatures, but also was used to discipline the sheep when they started to wander off, just to give them a little nudge. Hey, come on back in here. There's actually a crook in a shepherd's rod. I don't have one here, but you can picture that crook, right? And that was actually to get around the neck of the sheep and just gently say, hey, come back here. Come back here. You're wandering off, and that's not a good thing for you. So get back. The shepherd's rod is an image both of protection and God's discipline, and both are good. We need to recognize that the discipline of God is a good thing for us. And so when we face his discipline, instead of lashing out against it, accept it, because that's a good thing. Next, preparing a banquet in the presence of our enemies. That's a crazy idea, but it shows that we are going to face enemies. We are going to face hard times, but God will see us through those times and prepare a banquet for us. He'll anoint our head with oil. That is an image of hospitality. That's God welcoming the guest and anointing their head with oil. It was extravagant, an extravagant gift that he's giving for his guest. My cup overflows. The host pours the drink at the banquet. not just to the rim of the glass, but he overflows the rim of the glass. That's how extravagant this banquet is that God is giving us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That good days are going to happen, and mercy, chesed, God's justice, when we need to call upon justice, the God of justice will be there for us. That's going to consistently be with us through life. And as if all of this is not enough, okay, get that, as if all of this is not enough, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amazing that we get to be in the presence of God, not just in this age, but in the age to come, forever in the presence of God. So, are we saying on a daily basis, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Sometimes we need to say every hour, maybe at the top of the hour, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some days you might need to say it every top of the hour and every bottom of the hour, every half hour, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And some days, the days are so tough that we just have to constantly over and over and over repeat, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say it with sincerity. Say it with honesty. Say it with conviction. Say it with not just the words, but with your life as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How can we say this? We say it every time we prioritize God in our life and put God first. When we get up in the morning and connect with God, we are saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We say it every day we decide to give our best for God, not to give the leftovers, but to give our best for God. We are saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We say it every time we make a choice of wholehearted devotion to God, not half-hearted, but wholehearted devotion. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We say it every time we are consistent in our walk with Jesus, because consistency is one of the most difficult things we have to do as disciples. But every time we are consistent, what we're saying is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So today and every day, let's have this affirmation on our minds, on our hearts, and on our lips. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And let's live in the images of, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And as if that's not enough, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.